We're going to go further in the Haggadah. Today we're going to talk about Baruch Shem and Avtachaseh. So in your Haggadah book, you should open to page 26. So we start telling the story. First of all, we set up the parameters for when we tell the story. Yochum Erish Chedesh. They said, no, can't be from Erish Chedesh. It can't even be during the day. This has to be specifically performed in the evening, at night. And then once again, we start the Haggadah over. Maschil B'Gnus. We start off speaking about the humble beginnings. Metchila Evdei Avodah Zarah Hayu Aviseinu. Our ancestors were once idolaters. And then we talk about Avraham Avinu. God takes Avraham and he increases his seed, and he gives Avraham Yitzchak, and he gives Yitzchak Yaakov, and the Jewish people ensue. At this point, the Baal HaGadah says, Baruch Shemer Havtachasi LiYisrael. Blessed is he who keeps his word. He keeps his word LiYisrael. So the Rebbe notes that this Piska, this part of the Haggadah, is brought in the Siddur of Reb Amram Goen and Reb Sadia Goen. But the Rebbe says, I couldn't find a medrash that matches with this. There is no actual midrashic source, because most of the Haggadah comes from our sages, comes from the same genre as the Mishnah. With Mechilta, the Rebbe says, he hasn't found it. Which means he wanted two things. Either it could be there was a midrashic source, but this particular medrash got lost, and the only thing we retained was this little phrase, and that was preserved by the Gaonim, or this was a Gaonic concoction. That's possible. That's possible that in the post-Talmudic era, that the Gaonim put this together. The fact that Reb Amram and Reb Sadia both had it in their Sidurim is interesting. I'm not so sure they were in touch. So it would seem, would indicate an earlier source, but we don't know of an earlier source. And this is meaningful because it's on the surface, what we're about to say here is very, very strange. Wow, blessed is God, amazing. God kept his word. Like, shouldn't everybody keep their word? Do you think God keeps his word? It's like, Baruch Shem Rav Tachosi, amazing. Abish keeps his word. Wow, it's like, this is a really special God. Now, Hav Tachosi, his promise. Which promise do we refer to? Which word is this? So, the Rebbe brings new possibilities. One possibility is to Avraham Avinu. And this was with regard to the Egyptian exile. Another possibility is Baruch Shem Rav Tachosi refers to the prophets. And this was the promise that God made, that despite the fact that in every generation that would rise up against us, nonetheless, in the end, he would save us, and here we are, the miracle of our survival. So this is the two questions, two possibilities of Havtachase. And now it says, Baruch Shemer Havtachase Li Yisrael. So, if we ought to take the first approach, that this is a promise, a word that was given to Abraham. So Shemer Li Yisrael means what God promised Avraham Avinu, or maybe the prophets about Israel, about the nation of Israel. Or it could be, Baruch Shemer Havtachasi Li Yisrael, blessed is God who keeps his word to Israel, which would mean strictly the prophets, not Avraham Avinu. Blessed is God who keeps his word to Israel, to the nation of Israel. God promised us, you will never disappear. I will always be at your side. You will survive eternally. So indeed, like Netzach Yisrael Le'ishakir, like they say, the eternity of the Jewish people shall not be put to lie. But anyway, we have two ways of reading this then. The Baruch Shemer Havtachasei, the Yisrael, could mean about Yisrael or to Yisrael. Baruch Hu, blessed is he. Sha'akodesh Baruch Hu, Chishev Esaketz. God calculated the exact time that was supposed to be. So Rashi, the Rebbe says, Chishev is our version. The version of Agadah Chishev means calculated, past tense. However, there is, and this is the way it's found in the Haggadah of Avudraham, and the Shalah, and the Yaivetz, and in the Siddur of the Arizal. However, in the Shibboleth HaLeket, which is one of the early Rishonim, as well as the Geonim, Rasag, Reb Sadia Goen, Rambam, Zevach Pesach, which is authored by the Arizal, the Nusach is Baruch Mechashev. Blessed is he who will calculate. And this, of course, goes again along those two schools of thoughts. If this was God with Avraham Avinu, Baruch Hu Chishev Es HaKetz, he exactly calculated the Ketz. What does that mean? To Avraham Avinu, exactly when the Jewish people would leave Mitzrayim. When do we leave? Exactly at the second that Yitzchak Avinu was born. Just when the sun reached that particular shadow, so to speak. So the Malachim came and made a line in the wall and said, when the sunlight reaches, when the shade reaches this, it's like a, like one of those sundials. When the shade reaches this line, that's when Yitzchak was born, and that's exactly when they heard a cry of a baby, exactly at that moment. And so it was 400 years later, exactly at that moment, when the sun was exactly at that spot, the Jewish people were leaving Mitzrayim. Exactly. So this is one way of Chishev, and that's past tense. However, if we had to say that Baruch Shemir Haftachosei refers not what God promised Abraham, but what God promised the prophets. And Baruch Shemir Haftachosei Yisrael in a broader sense means blessed is God who makes, keeps his promise, keeps his word to Yisrael, to the nation of Israel, to the people of Israel, then it makes sense to say Mechashev, which means the future. Blessed is God who will keep that calculation, who is calculating the exact arrival of Mashiach Yemer Tzashem. Now, this is an interesting piska because everything here reads like two ways. Baruch hu shechishev es haketz, God is chishev, God calculated the ketz, lasos. So the question is, what does the word lasos mean? The Shabbat Lehalek and the Zevach Pesach say that lasos refers to, so to speak, to go forward. Lasos he will make, which makes sense when they say mechashev also. Lasos is going to be. However, there are those like the Maharal and the Siddur Kol Yaakov will say, Chishev es haketz lasos. He calculated the ketz when he would do. It's God's doing. It's God's doing, not when he will do, but God's doing. He calculated the doing. That's the word. K'mosha ne'omer la'avram avinu, like it says to Avram Avinu, like you said, bevris ben absadim, at the covenant between the parts. So here's interesting. The word bevris, at the covenant, this is the way it shows up in the Machzor Vitri and the Haggadah of Zevach Pesach, the Arizal, the Shalah, the Yavetz. But in the Shabbat Le'aleket, the Psad Yigorn and the Rambam, the version is, La'avram Avinu, Bein HaBesarim, to Avram Avinu, between the parts. So basically, God makes a covenant with Abraham, and he tells him to divide this animal. And then, he tells Abraham to walk through the parts, and then there is a fire that, so to speak, passes between these parts. So according to Rambam and the Psad Yigorn, since it says, Baruch Hu, we say that K'mosha Amar LaAvram Avinu Bein HaBesarim, as God told Avram Avinu between the parts, it would have to mean as if that the divine utterance, the divine speech, divine communication came when the fire was Bein HaBesarim between the parts.
But the fire did not consume the parts.
The fire did not consume the parts. It went between the parts. Correct. But here's the problem, the Rebbe says. We read the Chumash. God did not say this to Avram Avinu when the fire was between the parts. God said it to Avram Avinu before the fire passes through the parts. So the version that we have makes more sense. God said to Avraham Avinu, Bivris ben Absarim. Bivris ben Absarim is in an epoch, in the time, in that event. The event was called a bris, the event was called a covenant. So God said to him, during the covenant of ben Absarim, during the covenant of between the parts. When exactly in the covenant of between the parts, it's covenant between the parts includes the whole time between the parts, during the covenant. So there's a whole bunch of things that are happening. And you look in the Chumash, God tells Avram to do this, and there's a great darkness that falls, and then God communicates to Avram, and then there's a fire, and then there's Avram to walk through the parts. So if it's what God promised Avram Avinu, that makes sense. Whereas here, it says what God promised Avram Avinu, Bein HaBesarim, between the parts, as if there's like an unspoken word. Maybe this dovetails into the idea that this was referring to the promise that's beyond Avram Avinu. Maybe this is the promise of the future prophets also. Maybe there's an unspoken part of Bein HaBesarim. At any rate, this is the two versions that we have. And what did God say to Avram? God said to Avram Avinu, Shanemar, Vayemer, Avram, Yodea, Teda, you should know, Ki Geri Yezaracha Be'eretz Lelohem, that your seed, your progeny, are going to be strangers in a land that is not theirs. Va'avodim ve'inu oisam, they will be tormented. They will be enslaved for Arba Me'ez Shana, for 400 years. However, V'gamis HaGoyesh HaYavdu, Yavidu, this nation that will enslave them, Dono Noichi, they're not going to walk away scot-free. I will judge them. V'acharechein, and after this, Yetzu B'ruchush Godol. So you're going to ask me the question, how could it be Baruch Shem Haftachosei is referring to the promise? It says right over here, it's referring to Avram Avinu. We just read it, it says right over here. It says, V'gemer la'avram yedea teda. So what's the answer? The answer, look in the next paragraph. V'hisham de la'vesenu. So Baruch Shem Haftachosei then, according to the second version, would follow, Baruch Shem Haftachosei li'Yisrael, what's the Haftachosei li'Yisrael? That refers to the Hisha Amda Lave Seinu. It's this word, it's this promise that has stood for our ancestors, Lave Seinu Velanu, for our ancestors and for us. Shalayachad Bavad Amad Aleinu, not only one rose against us. They rise against this every generation. So this is like a continuation over here, it seems. Even though there's an interruption, we raise the glass of wine, it seems very clear that this is kind of one leads into the next. This blessed is God who keeps his word, and then the word is v'hisham de la v'seinu. That's the futuristic word. So it says that what's, according to the first version certainly, that what is the promise? The promise is that Goy Asher Ya'avidu Dono Noichi, I will judge those who enslave my children, and then Yetzu B'Rechush Gadol. So the Rebbe here brings a quotation of a little episode in the Zohar. Shol Reb Yeseh Ze'ira the Minchavraya Merashbi. Reb Yeseh, who was the youngest of the Holy Society, the Holy Brotherhood of the coterie of the Reb Shimon Bar Yochai's students, he asked Reb Shimon Bar Yochai the following question. He said, "Hayde kutshebrichu midkar lein liyisrael b'chol asar v'asar." This that God keeps mentioning all over the Torah, keeps mentioning again and again. Hoytzeisi eschem eretz yitzrayim, I took you out of Egypt. Ma'ira busa ulafacha. Why does God keep harping on this? I'm soon going to see that he talks about yitzias yitzrayim no less than 50 times, going out of Yitzrayim. We hear about this 50 times. God emphasizes it. Remember, I kept my word. Remember, I took you out of Yitzrayim, right? Didn't he make a promise? Didn't he give his word? If he gave his word, what's the big deal? Here we are sitting and praising God and saying, God, you're so great, you kept your word. And God is reminding us again and again, I kept my word. I did this, you know, remember that? Remember that thing I promised? I actually followed through. For heaven's sake, shouldn't anybody keep their word? Shouldn't all of us keep their word? Listen that up. So this is what Rabbi Yisi asks Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says, he says, Tachazi, look, let's take a look over here. He says, the truth is that the Jewish people were not only taken out of Golos by God, because God could have taken them just out of Egypt, but instead God took them out of all kinds of subjugation and exile. And he says, the Jewish people at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim were immersed, sunken in 49 levels of impurity. And Hashem took them out of those 49 levels of impurity. So much so that if they came to the 50th level, and when they came to the 50th level, they didn't just go out of the 40 levels of impurity, they went into 50 gates or 50 levels of understanding, and then in the end, they received the Torah in the 50th gate. So he says, and what is that? That's the days between Yom Tov the Pischa to between Yomer Vishvui. There are 50 days from Pesach all the way until the Festival of Shavuos. And so Reb Shimon Bar Yochai answers his youngest disciple, Reb Yeseh. He says, this is the meaning of God took us out. He took us out of the spiritual filth and soiled reality of Golos. It wasn't just a question of going out of actual physical Mitzrayim. This is a question of God taking us out of all kinds of emotional and cerebral and psychological Mitzrayims. So he took us out of every way. We made us free intrinsically, like Maharal of Prague says. And that is the meaning of what God keeps repeating again and again, the concept of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because Yetzias Mitzrayim is not merely a historic phenomenon. Yetzias Mitzrayim was a paradigm shift, a new reality within humanity. From this comes forged the nation of Israel. And the Rebbe actually points out that if you go through, you find that Yetzias Mitzrayim is mentioned 50 times in the Torah. And he says this is brought down in the Pardes of the Ramak. So that's the story of this little Pisgah. Okay, so just to recap, we don't know where it's, what the earliest source is. Earliest source we have is only Gaonic times. And there's basically two ways of reading almost all of this. What is the word? Is it the word to Avram? Is it the word to the later prophets? Is this the Chishev or Machashev? Is it past tense? Or is it he's going to be calculating the time? And we have the Zohar here. The Rebbe introduced us to the Zohar. It says the big question, like, what do you mean like this is a Baruch Shem Rav Tachase? Like, what's the big deal? And the response, the answer is, the Zohar says, well, it wasn't just going out of Egypt. There was much more than going out of Egypt. There's this whole spiritual metaphor or psychologically speaking, emotionally speaking, on every which level speaking, which the Jewish people go out of Mitzrayim and are now taken into a whole new level, which is receiving the Torah. Okay. But that doesn't really address the pshat level. And when you start looking into the pshat, the question becomes even more pronounced. So the Rebbe spoke about this actually a number of times, but here's the gist of one of the times when he spoke about this and clarified this idea of Baruch Shem Rav Tachasi. If you look in the Medrash Shmois Rabbah, the third chapter, the 11th entry, it says like this. The Pasuk says, V'nosati eschein ha'om hazeh, I will give the grace, so to speak, the charisma of this nation, be'enei Mitzrayim, in the eyes of Egypt. As it says in the Pasuk, it says, Ani osad lasis eschem l'chein be'enei Mitzrayim, k'deish yishalom, This is what actually the Medrash says. The Medrash says, I will give the grace, the charisma. You'll find so much favor in their eyes. You'll be so charismatic. You'll be like a celebrity, like a superstar. And they'll be so excited to give you. He said, please, take more. What else can we give you? How else can we make you happy as you're leaving Mitzrayim? And what is this all, says the Medrash? Bechdei in order, shalayi epischem pel Avram Avinu. So the Avram Avinu will not have the ability to open his mouth and say, Vavadim vinu esam kayim behem, to torment them. Now you did it all the way. You didn't take any shortcuts. They really got beaten and brutalized. That was a serious galus, a real bondage, real slavery. However, when it came to the yetzer b'rechush gadol, going out with the great wealth, leikiyim behem, that you didn't exactly do. Whatever, they went out, but you know, beaten, bludgeoned, broken, they went out, but there was no great wealth. So because Hashem has to make sure that Avram doesn't have what to say, Avram won't be able to confront him and say, hey, you didn't keep your word. So therefore, God says, you see, I sent them to the Egyptians. The Egyptians gave him everything with a smile on their face, and everything was good. And here we are, as him and myself. A big deal that God kept his word. It sounds even worse. This Medrash makes it seem God really wasn't going to keep his word. So why did he keep his word? Because he was afraid of Avram Avinu. What's Avram going to say? What's Avram going to say? Is that a reason to keep your word? You keep your word because you're God. I mean, we're expected to keep our word. Would not God be expected to keep his word? And here we are praising God. Baruch Shem Rav Tachasei. And the Medrash is telling us, well, don't praise him so much because, you know, he only did this because he was afraid of Avram. So Avram is going to say, hey, God, it's not fair. You promised. you said you're going to torment him. You didn't hold back there. And then when it came to Chush Gadol, hey, it wasn't such a Chush Gadol. Something doesn't make sense here. So the Rebbe says the explanation to this big question, and it is a big question really. There's a pasuk that says, Le ish kel v'yachaz, if God is not a man who lies and cheats, how could it be that God wouldn't have kept his word? So the kernel of the explanation is that God's word could have been kept in multiple ways. We're thanking God for the manner in which he kept his word. What does this mean? What does it mean, the manner in which he kept his word? So the Rebbe says, let me introduce you to a very interesting story in the Gemara. The Gemara found in Masechet Sanhedrin. It says over there that in the days of Alexander the Great, Alexandros Mikton, Alexander of Macedonia, a group of Egyptians came and presented themselves before the king. He was the emperor of the whole world then, civilized world. A larger empire than all of the empires that preceded him. Seems, according to some opinions, even bigger than Ahasuerus' empire. Hammered together this incredible, government. He was like endless control of Alexander. He seems to have captured all of Africa, all the way to India, the whole Eurasia, everything. So they came to Alexander, who's all powerful, you know, the big powerful king, and they said, we would like to sue the country of Israel in court, in one of your courts. Yeah, okay, what's the lawsuit about? So he says, in their books it says that they took all our gold and silver. It's in their books. I don't know, it's their books. By the way, there was somebody in Egypt 10 years ago. There was a law professor who actually wanted to bring a case to The Hague. It's the same thing. It's unbelievable. So he said, they never gave it back. We want the money back now. We're Egypt, they're Israel. They acknowledge they're Israel. We say we're Egypt. Time to pay back. So there was a man whose name was Gevir ben Psisa. He was an older man, like a schlepper. He said, and they were terrified. Nobody knew what to say. He said, look, let me go. What's the worst thing? If I don't succeed, you'll say, well, you're just a schlepper, a house painter. What do you want from him? We didn't even take this seriously. We would have sent you a top lawyer. We would have gotten Alan Dershowitz to represent us. Instead, we thought this was a joke, so we sent like some joker. Sent a third grade legal social studies teacher. But they said, on the other hand, he said to them, if I succeed, look what you'd be able to say. It's not that we took the finest Jewish lawyer. We took a schlepper. took a third grade social studies teacher and he knocked him out of the park. So then for sure, see, either way, you don't lose with me. The Jewish people didn't know what to do. I said, okay, fine. Gvia wins. You go. So he said to them, tell me something. The same book that you're bringing proof from, does it say over there were 600,000 slaves? Yeah. It says they worked for 210 years? He says, yeah. He says, let's do the calculation of minimum wage. Not even the new level of Kathleen wins minimum wage. Even the old level of minimum wage. 600,000, backbreaking labor, whatever, how many hours a day it was, let's do the calculation. And started doing the calculation, and it seemed like maybe the Egyptians would still owe money. So the Egyptians quickly closed the case, and they ran away. And that was the end of the story. That's the story. Okay. It's a cute story. No, it's not a cute story. There's a message being conveyed here. What was Gvia's taina? Gvia said that their money they gave was simply remuneration that was due to them. This was the reparations they would do because they worked them. Now they had to pay them. So here is the point. The riches or wealth that the Jewish people left Mitzrayim could have come to them in two ways. It could have come to them that the Egyptians gave it. If the Egyptians gave it, there's an acknowledgement of responsibility or even guilt on the behalf of the Egyptians. And they're saying, we're rewarding you. This is what we call in Yiddish, kosher fadint. You earned this, fair and square. It's yours. Or you're getting a handout. You get a handout. God could have arranged it. The money could have ended up in the hands of the Jewish people. The Egyptians didn't want to give it. They weren't happy about giving it. They never offered anything else. What happened? Whatever. They somehow it ended up. So there's a big difference. So the question here is, what is the main purpose? In the words that Hashem promises to Avraham Avinu, it says, "Vegam es hagoya asher ya'avedu don anochi." This nation that will enslave you, I will judge them. And then it says, "Va'acharechein," and after that, "Yetzer b'rechush gadol." Okay. So there's two points being made here. Number one, the Egyptians will be judged. Number two, the Jewish people will be remunerated. The question is, what is the primary and what is secondary? Once the money goes from one account to the other, you're going to say both, you can look at it in two ways. One is, there was a fine, they were fined. Okay, we got the fine, but they were fined. Or we can say, no, we got remunerated. Obviously, they paid for it, but we got remunerated what was rightfully ours. The story of Yehuda ben Sisa tells us that at the end of the day, the right way to look at this is not that they got fined, so we happened to walk away with their money. We earned it fair and square. This is more about, not about, obviously they got punished, they lost all their money, the Egyptian economy collapsed and never recovered, but that's not the point. The main point was, Yetzu b'rechush gadol, as remuneration, as payback for what they did. So this was Avraham Avinu, who's going to come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and say, you know, the slaves got worked to the bone. Yeah, they left with money, but they didn't leave the money that they felt that they earned. It's not like this was like the result of the galus. They ended up technically leaving with wealth, but it wasn't theirs that they earned it. It wasn't because that they felt that this is ours. We got worked to the bone. This belongs to us. It's a big difference between when you're getting something you feel it belongs to you, or you're getting a handout. You feel like a schnorrer and a schlepper. And you have the money in your pocket, but there's no good feeling about it. Whereas somebody worked for it, toiled on it, it's rightfully yours. The Rebbe maintains, this is the point of Baruch Shem Rav Tachaseh. HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have done this in multiple ways. He chose to do it in a way in which we were remunerated rather than the focus on Egypt being punished. It was the positive, not the negative. For this, we're grateful. Could have gone either way. There's no guarantees on anything. And the Rebbe says, in a spiritual sense, this has even a more profound meaning. We know that based on the teachings of Chassidus and Kabbalah, that the concept of Berechush Gadol, the great wealth, refers to the sparks of holiness, Netzutzei Kedusha, that were buried in the strata of Egyptian reality. And we extracted those sparks. And with this, we were incredibly enriched. And we left with those sparks of holiness, and we were able to do what we did. That's one of the reasons, on a mystical level, the Jewish people are not supposed to go live in Egypt again. You live in a place to elevate the sparks. There are no sparks left. Sparks are gone. And he theorized that Jewish people don't belong in Poland anymore. They never didn't want to send a shliach. This is just a theory. So it's like Mitzrayim. The sparks are gone. We lived there 1,000 years. It's drenched with Jewish blood. We did our part. Okay, and in case you thought they were being so friendly, look what's going on in the news today. Like certain places where maybe we're done there. Maybe we took out the sparks. In Mitzrayim, we know for sure we took out the sparks. Why? It says, don't go there. Hashem says, don't go back there. It's in his Torah. So the sparks could come out in really in one of two ways. Sparks could, this could be about the sparks, or it could be about us. If it's about the sparks, we're just playing a role as an extra. The sparks had to come out. Yeah, fine, it came out through our efforts, but the sparks were, it was all about the world being perfected, not about us perfecting the world. But if we look at this entire scenario, not as a change, objectively speaking, but rather the subjective virtue of Am Yisrael, we earned it, we did it, we made this happen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, Yeyetzu b'rechush gadol, you will leave b'rechush gadol, not technically because there's going to be a collapse, that's why Yeyetzu. But Yeyetzu b'rechush gadol, earned fair and square. So the Rebbe says, on spiritual terms, that means that the Jewish people succeeded in elevating those sparks, and as a result, this was a tremendous his'alos, a tremendous elevation of Am Yisrael, which all fits very neatly back into the Zohar that says God didn't just take the Jewish people out of Egypt, but instead he took them out of the 49 levels of impurity and he brought them to the 50th gate, which is Matan Torah and the transformation of Am Yisrael for eternity as being Hashem's people, as being those who would carry the light to the rest of the world. And that's the story of God keeping his word.